Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sports Talk Live on NBC Sports Chicago. It's all brought to you by the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan, Gordon Whitmire, David Haw, Lawrence Holmes. All right, Max Scherzer and others from MLB come back firing. They do not like the latest proposal from the owners. Is it posturing, Gordon, or are we really in trouble here and may not have a season?
I don't know how much trouble we're in as far as having a season or not. I still hold out faith that the sides will reach some agreement, but it's definitely not posturing based on the conversations I've had, certainly with that side of the equation. I don't know if you saw a report that came out. Boris sent an email to his clients suggesting they hold firm on this and outlining some of the gains across Major League Baseball in recent years and how they should be better able to weather this, and that the players should not have to give back anything that they negotiated in March as far as the prorated salaries go. That's a position that's held by a lot of players on the union side, and I don't think it's posturing. I do think this is a serious position they're taking. And by the way, despite reports about the players have a counter proposal ready and that they're going to give it to them today or tomorrow, my reporting suggests that they don't know what it will be in any counter proposal, and they don't have a timeline for delivering it yet.
Lawrence, David, your guys' thoughts?
Well, I feel like this is exactly the way that they probably should have responded to this, where you have the guys that are going to get the biggest hit. They come out and they speak publicly. I was a little surprised that it was Max Scherzer, because the risk-reward aspect of it for those guys, if we're to believe the numbers that Jeff Passan has thrown out there, where a player like Mike Trout or Max Scherzer is now going to make about 20% of what they originally agreed through their contracts, I can understand why those guys would be frustrated. It's the next step in this. I don't know if – I will tell you this. I kind of feel like baseball is starting to run out of time. Because if we're still at this place right now, the idea of starting back up on July 4th weekend and getting 82 or 100 game schedule, if we're not significantly closer by June 1st, then I'm going to start to really worry that there's even a season.
Baseball needs a deadline, because deadlines spur action. Baseball needs a voice that speaks out loudly and is a leader and says, you know what, both sides have points here. Both sides are wrong here. Both sides are kind of right here, but we need a compromise. And I don't think that Max Scherzer, his tweet and his comments, while defensible, I don't think they accomplished anything as far as bringing the sides together. And certainly nobody from the owner's side has done that yet. I don't know who it's going to be, but I think there needs to be somebody that steps forward and tries to appeal to the common sensibilities. It's not Scott Boras. Look, a couple of weeks ago, Scott Boras was telling players to wrap themselves in the flag and play for the greater good of America. And now he's telling players, don't bail out the owners. Both times he had points. Both times he was right. But he's contradicting himself, it seems.
I'm not sure he's contradicting himself. I don't think those are mutually exclusive.
Okay, how not? Because
his position starts with the fact that they negotiated contract terms in March. And his position now is stand by the contract terms negotiated. He told us a week or whatever it was when he talked to us last week, that he's gotten zero pushback from any of his players as far as whether they want to come back. They all want to come back, understanding some of the protocols that will be necessary within this pandemic. And so they're willing to take the safety risk. They want to come back. So,
but Gordon, you know that you can find people who interpret that March 26th provision a different way than Scott Boras does. He's just louder, more eloquent in the way that he's expressing it. Because if there's a difference between playing without fans in the stands and playing with fans in the stands, and that was supposed to be the provision on which you renegotiate the terms of how you pay players, people are going to look at it two different ways, because it might be the same language interpreted differently.
Well, who is that person that you're looking for to moderate it too? Like, that's my thing. David, I think that what you're talking about would be wonderful. But where is that going to come from?
Where does that ever come from in baseball?
And let's say that you want to go like to a higher power. Like, let's say that you want to go to our government agencies. Everything is so partisan and so politicized at this point. It'd be hard to find anyone that either side could agree would be a fair arbitrator to try and make it the both sides understand where the other one is coming from.
That's what happens when you have a bad commissioner. I spoke to a player agent today, pretty significant, not at the level of Scott, but not far from him. And he said, A, we don't believe a lot of what the owner says. He said, B, we screwed up. He said that clause, in his opinion, and he's a lawyer, that clause in that contract absolutely gives the owners the right, if there's no fans, to open it up. He goes, that's our fault. We screwed that up. It's a poorly written document, but that's a fact. He said both sides here have got to find a way to work through this.
Yeah, the union's position isn't that the clause doesn't exist or doesn't give ownership a right to come back and discuss this. It's that we also don't have to give back on that agreement if we don't think that that's an equitable agreement in the end. And keep in mind that the owners have floated this idea of expanded playoffs. The vast majority of their national money comes in the postseason. They want to get to the postseason as fast as they can. That's why you're seeing an 82-game schedule floated when maybe 100-plus is feasible. It costs them more, even if it's just prorated money, even if it's discounted prorated money, to play more regular season games. Postseason games are a different equation when it comes to playing the players. And they would stand to gain a lot of money. Plus, obviously, you want to get there as fast as you can, because if something were to happen, an outbreak were to happen, it could scuttle the whole thing and leave the owners in an even worse position.
You guys also think you can keep players safe? Because Gordon and I talked to Dr. Sitrenberg twice in the last 3 weeks. He's not convinced you can keep the players safe.
You don't know, Cap. I mean, nobody knows. I think the only thing that you can trust is if they're willing to take these risks. And that is almost like a separate part of this that we're not giving as much attention because of the acrimony between the financial terms, which, you know, are typical in the terms of a negotiation. You hear this sort of rhetoric that's inflamed all of the time. The problem is this isn't a typical negotiation. You do need a deadline. Time is running out. As far as the safety issue, I don't know how anybody can answer that responsibly with any degree of certainty, because we just don't know what lies ahead.
The trust factor is huge here. Because if you don't trust them as far as the negotiation and you feel like they're trying to rush you back onto the field, might they be trying to rush you back on the field and it be hazardous to your health? Those are questions that the players have to answer. And, yeah, they offered that 67-page document, but there's part of me that feels like that document was less about getting the players on board as it was getting local government on board and saying, look, this is what we're doing. We're going to give you this hefty document filled with a lot of stuff so that local government understands. You put this in front of Mayor Lightfoot and say, these are the protocols that we're going to go behind. The city has a rule against dipping. When have we ever seen that be enforced? Never at the ballpark have we seen that be enforced. So if I'm the players, there's two fronts that these negotiations have to happen on. And right now, I don't feel like the either one of those things makes me excited to get back to playing.
Yeah. The other side of the safety issue that players are bringing up is the idea of an abbreviated spring training and what injury risks might be involved. A lot of players are worried about that far more than they're worried about the virus. And now you're talking about future earnings potentially, and the kinds of injuries that I saw one report where a doctor suggested that we might see a rise in Tommy John surgeries being necessary if the prep time isn't long enough or adequate enough. So there's all kinds of issues here, but it does seem pretty clear that the players are willing to take the health risks to get back on the field. And if that's the case, then the owners are in position to make this happen. That's what the bottom line is.
And Cap, Lawrence is exactly right. The whole thing is what you're waiting for was local government. And when you have governors in New York and Illinois yesterday and California last week, opening the doors wider to having baseball in their respective states, that's as far as you can go as far as that's concerned. The stuff that Gordon's talking about are valid concerns too, the shortened spring training, but those things are out of your control. You can only control so much, and I think that's what is up to the governments. And so once you've got the green light from some of the governmental leaders, then you felt better about it from a baseball perspective, even though there's so much unpredictability.
All right, we have got to take a timeout. Eddie Olczyk's going to join me next on the NHL's return to play plan and what it could mean for the Blackhawks. And then we'll rejoin with the panel and talk about the NBA's plan. We'll be right back.
White Sox authentic fans, if you don't have the My Teams app yet, what are you waiting for? Stay up to date with the best Sox coverage in the city and read articles from White Sox insiders. Bring the South Side to your home and download the My Teams app now.
Welcome back on Sports Talk Live, brought to you by our great partners with the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan. We'll talk to Eddie Olczyk in a moment. And make sure you subscribe to the Sports Uncovered podcast. The debut episode tells the behind-the-scenes story of the Michael Jordan I'm back facts and the secret practices that preceded that. It changed the NBA forever. Subscribe for free wherever you get your podcast. U.S. Hockey Hall of Famer, great voice of the Blackhawks in the NHL, our guy, the great Eddie Olczyk. Edzo, are you excited that Gary Bettman has taken a leadership role here before all the other sports, and it looks like we stay healthy, we're going to get hockey back?
Well, good to be with you, Cap. Thanks for having me on your show. I don't think there's any doubt that the commissioner and the National Hockey League, the Board of Governors, all the teams, and obviously the Players Association really took a great leadership here in this initiative. And look, once the league paused back in the middle of March, the league has been out front. They've been available. They've communicated. When they've had something to say, they've been there. When there's been nothing to say, they've kind of went underground. But now they've got a plan, and they've come together. And look, this is probably the first hurdle of about seven or eight, but at least there's a plan. There's hope. I think you could tell with the energy in my voice. I was on your radio show the other day talking about this. So look, it gives hockey fans, it gives Blackhawk fans some hope here that we will have a conclusion to the 19-20 NHL season and we will have a Stanley Cup champion. At some point, Cap, look, we're still a couple of months away, it looks like, from the phases that the commissioners put out, and then eventually one we're going to get to training camp, and then eventually one we're going to get to the 24-team tournament.
Why do you think that is when we see the English Premier League in soccer and Serie A in soccer and La Liga and the Bundesliga? They're already either back playing or they'll be back on the pitch in the next couple of weeks. Why do you think in this country it's taking that much longer?
Well, I mean, I think that's a question for the medical professionals, not for Eddie Olczyk or for David Kaplan. And look, we're still in this pandemic, and hopefully this never happens to any generation ever again. But it's adversity. You got to handle it. It's affecting all of us in all walks of life, not only in our little world cap of sports and professional sports, but, it's for the medical professionals to give those answers to the most important people in sports up and down too. Let's not forget, it's not only affecting professional sports, but collegiate sports, high school sports, amateur sports, all sports have been affected. So it's a trickle-down effect. How do we get these athletes, because this is what we're talking about sports, how do we get these athletes back into a safe environment, which is first and foremost, and help them continue to do what they love to do? And obviously, the exercise part of that, Cap, which is so important in the big scheme of things.
Edzo, when the Blackhawks do get back on the ice, yeah, Lord willing, we play, they've got a two-time Stanley Cup winning goaltender. They've got one of the eight best scorers in the world in Patrick Kane. They have some other good young players. Certainly they have their warts. There was a reason that they were up the track a bit, but they've been given this second life. Yeah. Can they get hot and make a run in the playoffs?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is wide open, Cap. This is I've been asked this question probably 1,000 times since the format has come out. And, who's the favorite? I couldn't tell you. Really, what happened 3 months ago? Irrelevant. You've got teams that were banged up that are getting healthy players back, but how are the players going to perform 3 months after this pause? And when you look at the first part of the play-in, so to speak, to get into the first round of the playoffs, it's a best of five, Cap. And in hockey, if you got that guy between the pipes, and the Blackhawks certainly have a proven pedigree goaltender, a two-time Stanley Cup champion, Corey Crawford, who the goaltending with the Blackhawks this year, I thought was very, very good all season long. Corey Crawford has that ability. But again, how are players going to react after being off for so long and then jump back into it and know that, hey, you could skate cap, because all these players are going to start hitting the ice here soon, and then you're going to have your formal team practices. You could be on the ice for, you know, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, and then you're jumping right into it. If you don't win, your season's done, and then, you know, who knows when next year's going to start. So, look, you talk about Patrick Kane, a difference maker, always has been, always will be. In a short series, you never know. You really never know. And what a matchup it is, though, with Edmonton Oilers and the Chicago Blackhawks. You got Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, two of the elite players in the league. But let's not forget the Blackhawks championship pedigree. And, hey, whatever happened in the past doesn't matter. You got an opportunity here to take advantage of it.
Edzo, getting back on the ice, I can't skate. You were an elite skater. You're in the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. How hard is it to get back into skating shape?
I mean, I never really had anything like this, Cap. I mean, the only thing that I could really compare it to when you think about it is that if the dates stay as is, they pause in the middle of March, and doesn't look like they're going to have formal team practices until the middle of July. When you do the math, it's almost like being off an off season. It looks like the time from when the normal regular season would end until you get back with your teammates, it's almost that same allotment. But what makes it really unique is that you just got done playing 70 plus games. Some teams played under that and some teams have played more. But, you know, the timing aspect of it is who can catch, you know, the timing, lightning in a bottle, so to speak, when it comes to getting back on the ice. Look, Cap, you could train all you want. You could, you know, do all the Ironman, you know, tests that are out there. You can ride the bike. You could be in incredible shape off the ice. But those players will get on the ice for the first time and they'll think, like, wow, I didn't do anything for 3 months or 4 months. I mean, that's what it's going to feel like. So hockey shape and normal shape are two totally different things. And that will be something to really keep an eye on here. And then also too, Cap, one small thing, but I look at it as a very important thing, having coached in this league and then have now going to be following it, obviously, as a broadcaster, is what is the roster size going to be when these teams come together? Not only because of the injury aspect, but also we don't know the dynamic of the virus, COVID-19, how that will play in effect once we get to playing back. So things to keep an eye on here moving forward. But, you know, it's going to take some time for guys to get their timing back. And whoever can get it done quickly, obviously, will have a huge advantage.
Eddie, what about a guy like Duncan Keith or some of the other veterans, you know, Taves and Kane?
Yeah.
Does this break help them because it gives them a chance to refresh, get their body feeling right, where they played a lot of hockey over the last
Yeah, they played thousands of games, really, when you look at the Olympics and the World Cup of hockey and obviously the Stanley Cup runs that those guys have had. I mean, Cap, it's uncharted. I wouldn't, you know – I know the guys that are in incredible shape. You mentioned Duncan Keith. You're not going to see a more finer-tuned athlete. And I think it's interesting. You mentioned Dunk. At the end of the year, or the end, right before the pause, I guess I should say, he was playing incredible hockey. He was dominating the defensive zone. He became much more active in the offensive zone. He was playing a lot more, which I think is huge for a guy like Duncan Keith. I don't know if it goes hand-in-hand with the trade of Eric Gustafson to the Calgary Flames. You know, his ice time certainly went up. It wasn't as where I think Dunk wanted it to be before at that time, but Dunk was a difference maker. And like I said, you got Corey Crawford, you got a guy like Duncan Keith, and, of course, you got Kaner and you got Johnny. You know, you got some difference makers there, but, you know, the condition part of it, I will not be – that's one thing I would not be worried about with those four guys in particular, the core guys, because they've been through it, and I'm sure they'll be ready to go. Because look at the way they were going. I mean, it was going to be tough to make the playoffs. But when you look at where they are now, this is like, hey, this is house money here, Cap. You could take advantage of it. And what an opportunity for the Blackhawks and the other teams that maybe were on the outside looking in and in the world that we're living in right now.
And so they expand those rosters enough, maybe you make a comeback, kid.
If they're looking for somebody to go to the front of the net and maybe win a faceoff or two, I'm available. I don't know if I could broadcast and play at the same time, but
that'd be awesome.
It'd be a little safer. I should say it's a lot safer where I'm going to be broadcasting the games. I don't even know where I'm going to be broadcasting the games. I could be doing it from my basement where I am right now, or maybe going to be in the studio. I don't know. I mean, those are all things that are, you know, they're important, obviously, because they affect me, but they're down the road, so we don't even know if we're going to be allowed in the building to be able to broadcast the game. So well, we're going to have to be quick on our feet, you know, just like everybody else. So hopefully once we get back to the National Hockey League.
Just keep the deep dish. The soft serve. The nice big ball for you.
Yeah. All right. We're going to try, Cap.
Stay safe and healthy. We love you.
All right. Love you too, pal.
You're the best. All right. More STL right after this.
Get the latest on your Blackhawks anytime, anywhere with the My Teams app. Take the Blackhawks only home with you wherever you go. Get the best Hawks coverage and read in-depth articles. Do yourself a favor and download the My Teams app now.
Welcome back on Sports Talk Live with David, Gordon, and Lawrence. I'm David Kaplan. Chevy dealers remind you that their service centers are open. Their technicians are working. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to find a location near you. All right, the NBA sounds like they're a done deal to return to play. Your guys' thoughts, should the Bulls be included? And should they make it a 2014 deal? Bulls are the 24th seed, or we've seen enough.
Well, where are those games going to be broadcast? Because let me just tell you, if those games are going to be broadcast on NBC Sports Chicago, let's get the Bulls in there. Let's do that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good point. Yeah, but I don't think the Bulls as a 24th best team in the NBA are ready to resume anything. 16 teams is fine with me. I don't think it's worth bringing all those people into that one facility in Orlando if they don't have a chance to win the tournament. So 16 is fine with me.
I like the 24 team thing or whatever it winds up being, because I like the way the NHL is doing it. Look, to finish out the regular season when so many teams make the playoffs normally is ridiculous at this point. But You want to spice up the playoff field? Sure. So the first round becomes kind of a warm up, and it's probably almost like scrimmaging anyway, given how crappy the teams are going to be. So go ahead, and they're good. Teams are going to get eliminated so fast that we're going to be down to a smaller number real quick anyway.
Hockey's so much more random though, so much more fun in the postseason than the NBA playoffs.
I'm not saying we should expect the Bulls to win anything. I'm just saying, go ahead and let him play and get eliminated real fast.
It won't matter to the future of Jim Boylan, because there's zero chance he's there's a better chance one of the four of us is coaching that team.
What if he wins the whole thing, Cap?
Yeah.
What if Trader Jim wins the whole damn thing?
Better go buy that ticket now, my man.
Wait, talk about Disneyland or wherever they're playing the stuff.
Yeah. Didn't you see a basketball coach? True.
What's that?
Didn't you see
Disney
a basketball
World
coach?
Is where dreams come true.
I did. All right, you guys have a wonderful rest of your day. Stay safe, stay healthy. For Gordon, for David, for Lawrence Holmes, I'm David Kaplan. We'll see you tomorrow.